It's not a lie if you believe it.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
And don't you wish that's a lesson that our representatives and our senators in Washington, D.C. could learn? That's not how this works? Because when you watch them, as you watch them at work, it's fairly obvious that they actually believe. They believe it firmly that it's not a lie if you believe it. God love them. Every day, something like that happens. An example, a recent example, is that White House meeting with President Trump, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, where they walked out afterwards and talked about how it was a victory for them because they got him to admit that he owns a government shutdown. Well, really? I mean, that's like your kids bragging about getting sent to their room. It's just nuts. It's just crazy. But that's the mentality. This apparently is what they honestly believe.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
No, it's not.
You are some messed up white people.
Yes, they are.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Right. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. Mark Congleton here, hoping you're having a great day today, that you've got good things in store, and that if you're listening later in the day, that so far, things have been hunky-dory. Okay? Christmas is just around the corner. Hopefully, you've got your shopping done. I know. You're looking at me, at your player, and thinking, right, I don't do that till Christmas Eve. Okay, fine. Have it your way. Me, I like a little less stress in my life. So, I tend to get it done. Actually, I've had it done for weeks. It's just it's done. And the only thing I haven't gotten done, even though I keep planning to, every day I think I've mentioned it most days, yeah, today I'm going to wrap Christmas presents. No, it hasn't happened yet. No wrapped presents have appeared underneath the tree. Apparently, I'm going to have to train the dog how to wrap presents because I'm not getting it done. See, that'll be me Christmas Eve scrambling, getting the presents wrapped. And spending part of that time trying to remember where I hid them. Oh, coming up today on the Daily Perspective, wow, I hope we get to, there's so much great stuff that's happening that, well, great things to talk about. I hope we have a chance to get to everything. There's an 11-year-old boy. Now, you heard about the 9-year-old girl in Alabama who committed suicide because she'd been bullied. Well, it's a tragic story. It's a very tragic story. And now there's an 11-year-old boy who he hasn't committed suicide, but he's in rough shape because he's being bullied. We'll talk about why. There is possibly one of the greatest examples of progressive brain damage I've ever seen, at least so far this week. We'll talk about that and how snowflakes really are weird. Democrat Al Green is back in the news again. What's he up to? Well, we'll find out. And where do you get your news from? That's something I talk about on a regular basis. We'll look at the trends and see how people get their news today and why that's important. But first, let's go to Central America, where two groups of Central American migrants have marched on the U.S. consulate in Tijuana. They did this Tuesday. And with them, they brought a list of demands for the Trump administration. The first group of about 100 of them arrived at the consulate before noon. They presented a letter, and that letter ordered their asylum, or that they be paid $50,000 each to turn around and go back home. Now, the organizer, Alfonso Guerrero Ulloa, he's of Honduras. By the way, sidebar, this guy, Alfonso, he's on the radar. He's connected to some terrorist activities, it turns out. So when you hear the talk, you hear your progressive friends say, the terrorism stuff. They're all lying about that. Really? The guy organizing this little thing right here, trying to get money out of us, is on the radar for being connected with terroristic activities. Go look it up. Alfonso Guerrero Ulloa. He's from Honduras. He said it may seem like a lot of money to you, but it's a small sum compared to everything the United States has stolen from Honduras. Really? You can tell this guy's a socialist just by the way he phrases things. The United States has stolen things from Honduras. Yeah. Well, the letter criticized the U.S. government for its response in Central America and requested that the U.S. government oust Honduran President Orlando Hernandez from office. Trump had threatened to stop financial aid to Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala if the governments didn't intervene to stop the caravan before reaching the border. The second group of about 50 arrived a couple of hours later with their demand letter. They insisted that the U.S. Speed up the process for asylum. They demanded that the U.S. border officials allow up to 300 asylum seekers each day at the San Ysidro port of entry in San Diego. Well, bless their hearts. You know what they did? Somebody, one of them, fired up the calculator app on his smartphone. Have you seen the pictures? I'm sitting around with smartphones. The refugees, these people seeking asylum, these poor people who just need a better life sitting around on social media on their cell phones. Well, one of them fired up the calculator app on their smartphone and did some math and figured out, hey, well, 300 a day would get us out of here in this many days. Right. Well, the current rate of entry is between 40 to 100. In the meantime, they go on to say, families, women, and children who have fled our countries continue to suffer, and the civil society of Tijuana continues to be forced to confront this humanitarian crisis, a refugee crisis caused in great part by decades of U.S. intervention in Central America, their letter said. And there we are again. First guy says, we have stolen from Central America, from Honduras, and now these people are blaming the United States' intervention in Central America for their woes. Well, yeah, you know what? We have stepped in when we've been asked to be there. When we've been called upon for help, we've been asked to be there. We've been there. The group also asked Mexican authorities to stop deporting migrants. Stop deporting us! Well, stop breaking the law, ding-dong! The caravan of more than 6,000 migrants first arrived at the Mexico-U.S. border about a month ago in Tijuana. The numbers have shrunk in recent weeks to about 700 of them have gone home. 300 have been deported. 2,500 have applied for asylum. That's according to the reports. Thousands more are believed to have crossed illegally into the United States. Oh, but that doesn't happen. You know, your Democrat friends are saying, nobody's illegal. Okay, fine. Mexico's National Institution of Migration isn't responding to requests to verify numbers, but we know what's going on. So they're demanding. They're making demands. These are people who have broken the law of their country, of the countries they've crossed to get to where they are. And 1,000 of them that we know of have broken our laws and crossed into our country illegally. And this group is making demands. Basically, it's extortion. You pay us 50 grand apiece or we're going to misbehave. That's what this is it not? Aren't these people trying to extort the United States out of $50,000 per person in order to guarantee that they'll go home and play nice? Well, here's a little news flash for you. We know that if the United States, by the way, we won't do this, but we know that if the United States decided to say, oh, bless your heart, well, okay, here's the cash. We know that what you would do is take the cash and then disappear into the woodwork only to reappear across the border in the United States at some point. And we would be deporting many of you for being here illegally. Because what you're trying to do is extort money from us. You're saying that we have interfered with your country. You're saying that we have stolen from you. You're saying you're blaming us for your problems. You will get up, pack your stuff, trek across three countries to our southern border, and pitch a hissy fit because you can't get something for nothing. And you could have used that energy back home to change your country. You could have used that energy back home to wage a campaign and change your political landscape in your country. You could have used that energy and done things legally. But no, you're not going to do things legally. You're going to make demands of the country that many of your brethren have entered illegally. And we know we're not idiots. We know why you're coming in. You've been told to use the word asylum so that you can get in onto the court docket and get a court date. And after you've gotten the court date and you've nodded your head and said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, you've been polite, you've done things properly, you walk out the door and poof, like a wisp, you're gone, never to be seen again until you're arrested for being in our country illegally. We know what you're up to. We know what you're doing. I've used this illustration a couple of times, but it still applies. You're the gold digger who wants the jewels, the car, the house, the clothes, but you don't care about the husband. You're marrying for money. That's what you are. You don't want to be part of our country. You don't want to be part of our family. You don't want to bring what is great about you and your culture here to enrich us. You want to be enriched by us. We're wise to you. We know what you're up to. We know what's going on, which is why you're not getting what you're demanding. Nice try, but it won't work. Your progressive friends are blind to what's actually going on here. When you look at the wording, you look at what they're saying. It may seem like a lot of money to you, says the guy wanted for association with terrorist acts, but it's a small sum compared to everything the United States has stolen from Honduras. Stolen from Honduras. In the meantime, families, women, and children who have fled our countries continue to suffer, and the civil society of Tijuana will continue to be forced to confront this humanitarian crisis, a refugee crisis caused in great part by decades of U.S. intervention in Central America. These statements are classic socialist statements. They're just classic. They are distractions. They are misdirection. They are lies. And sadly, these people, so many of these people, are just pawns. They're used. They're being manipulated. They've been lied to, persuaded to leave their homes, to travel across three countries to get to our southern border, only to be rudely awakened to the truth that they're not going to get in unless they break in. And 1,000 of them have done so. If you feel any compassion towards these people, and you should, it shouldn't be based on pity for the state of life that they have. It should be based on the fact that they've been bamboozled. They've been fooled. They've been deceived. And they've been used as pawns by people playing political games. That's what's so sad about this. These people, the open borders people who don't want any country to have borders, who want to destroy the sovereignty of nations, are using these people as pawns in their chess game, trying to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. And that is sad. Very, very sad. Coming up next, we'll take a look at what happens when you happen to share a name with someone who is hated by the left. When the Daily Perspective continues.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
Oh my. The holiday season is in full swing.
But have a cup of cheer.
And a lot of us are really tired. I don't know about you, but there have been years where Jane and I were really, really thankful when January 2nd arrived. Because we had so much stuff going on between work and other social get-togethers. The month of December was just nuts! Just crazy! And if that's your situation, well, God love you. Take a step back. Build a fire in the fireplace. I suggest you do it in the fireplace, not other places, because the fire department doesn't like coming to your house if you're an idiot. Build a fire in the fireplace. Make yourself some hot cocoa. Sit back, prop up your feet. Turn off the TV and just take a deep breath and relax. You got to have that at least once during the holidays. Take it easy. Easy, easy, easy. Mm-mm-mm. I was scanning Twitter here just a few minutes ago, and it's funny, I made a mistake. I hit the refresh thing, and it loaded up a lot of stuff and blew out what I was looking at. So now I'm scrolling back down through Twitter, trying to find one of the things. Here's one of them. It was 10 years ago today. 10 years ago today, on this date, December 13th, 10 years ago, 2008, Al Gore predicted that in 5 years, he predicted that 5 years ago, the North Pole would be completely ice-free. That was 10 years ago today. And like most other things, he was wrong about that. God love him. I still have to ask, if he so sincerely believes what he says, why does he travel by private jet, and why does he own that huge house on the beach? If the oceans are going to rise, you wouldn't want oceanfront property, would you? Yeah, it's one of those things that makes you go, another thing that popped up on Twitter a while ago. The Democrats are drafting a bill, or some Democrats are drafting a bill, which would make abortion a human right. A human right. Now, I'm not going to go into the depth of the story. You can go look it up. Just it's on Breitbart.com. Just go look it up and read it for yourself. What I take away from this is a beautiful illustration of the difference between progressivism and conservatism. You see, progressives believe that your rights come from the government, that the government declares what is a right and what isn't. Conservatives believe that you were born with your rights, that rights are natural. And they believe the duty of government is to protect and defend the rights you are born with. Government can confer privileges, but they can't grant you rights. You have rights. Government can interfere with your rights, but they can't bless you with those rights. You're born with them. And among them, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, in the original language, they changed it, but originally they were going to say the pursuit of property. Because that pursuit of property, that builds a legacy for family on down the line. And they changed it to happiness. There was pressure. But these Democrats want to draft a bill, they're drafting a bill, to make abortion a human right. I just want you to wrap your brain around that sometime today, think through it, and understand how twisted that actually is. They want to make the murder of an inconvenient human being a right. Because when you boil it down to its essence, that's what abortion is. It is, in essence, the murder of the witness to the crime.
Oh, but what about rape and incest?
The incidence of rape and incest in the national abortion landscape, the percentage is so small it's almost immeasurable. So that argument is, it's an emotional argument that doesn't hold a lot of weight. It holds some, but not very much. They want to draft a bill. They're drafting a bill to make abortion a human right. How callous and hardened are the hearts of those that would murder the unborn for their own convenience? How sad. How very, very sad. That is the depth of the heartlessness of the society we live in today. Here's another example. The parents of a young man have told reporters that their son began getting bullied when Donald Trump began running for office. It got so bad that his father took drastic action. Says he pulled him out of school, homeschooled him for a year. Kid's name is Joshua. His parents figured things would be better for their son when he got a grade older, started going to a different middle school in Wilmington, Delaware. But for Joshua, he's 11 now. Same frustrating story. They curse at him. They call him an idiot. They call him stupid. His mom is saying that. He was getting ridiculed and bullied for the fact that his last name is Trump. Joshua Trump, 11 years old. His life is basically a living hell because his last name is the same as our president's. His parents say the Brandywine School District wasn't addressing the bullying, and they met with school officials and teachers to tell them about their son's past problems. The principal of Tally Middle School, a guy named Mark Mayer, acknowledged the situation in an interview. Said, I don't know, I do know the teachers were aware of the last name, and I know in speaking with the student that the teachers do their very best to try not to say his last name. But Joshua's parents say the bullying didn't stop. Things got frightening. Quote, he said he hates himself, and he hates his last name, and he feels sad all the time, and he doesn't want to live feeling like that anymore. His mom, Megan, tearfully recounted. And she says, as a parent, that's scary. Mayer told the TV station WPVI that after a recent meeting with Joshua's parents, an investigation identified 5 students who were then disciplined. Mayer says they were apologetic and they did say they were sorry. The principal said, and Joshua's family met again Tuesday morning. And the school has agreed to immediately change Joshua's last name to his father's last name. His father has it. It's second marriage for the mom. And they're going to change his name in the system to his dad's last name. They also are working on providing Joshua with extra support so he feels comfortable reporting any future incident. Let me just say this, and I think you're probably ahead of me. They can change his last name to anything they want to in the system. But the kids around him already know his last name. And at some point, regardless, next year, the year after, at some point, it's going to come out, it's going to slip out somewhere that his mom's last name is Trump, and that's his last name too. and the problem will just recur or continue. Because in the society we live in today, people have decided that they can just be the mean girls from high school anytime and anywhere they darn well please. And even if it means victimizing, bullying an 11-year-old boy just because he happens to have the same last name as the president they've all been lied to about and they all hate. What a sad statement that makes about the world we live in today in the United States of America. That people, ignorant, brainless, moronic people, have been programmed by the liars on the left, on the evening news, and on the cable news channels, and by their friends on social media. They've been brainwashed, and they believe it's somehow acceptable to condemn someone simply because they share a name with a president that they don't like because they've been lied to about it. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. You and I, what can we do about it? We can stand up and defend kids like this. And we can point out the fact that that hatred is not based in reality or truth. It's all about lies. That's all we can do. Hey, more brain damage coming next on The Daily Perspective.
I'll be home for Christmas.
You're listening to The Daily Perspective. Hey, have you subscribed to the newsletter yet? I ask you every day, and because I want you to get in on the inside track here. The Daily Perspective, among other things, delivers the daily show notes right into your inbox, so you get The Daily Perspective in your inbox every day, as well as right here. And what the show notes are, or is... Okay, what the show notes am is, it's the direct links to the stories that I refer to. Now, from time to time, like I was scanning Twitter a while ago, that the Twitter stories, they're not going to be in the show notes because that was just kind of off the cuff. But the rest of the stuff that I talk about is in the show notes, direct links to the stories. And the reason that's important is because I don't get to the entire story quite often. I don't get all the way to the bottom of it. I'll get to a point where it's a good jumping off point to discuss what's going on in the story, but there's more. So it's a really, really good idea to go see the entire story to get all of the information. See, I'm suffering from time constraints just like everybody else is. So go get the show notes. Sign up for the newsletter today. And from time to time, a little special something else will pop into your inbox. Okay? All right. The way to do it, go to the Facebook pages, the Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective Facebook pages, and click the sign-up button, or go to the website, markandmacshow.com. There's a sign-up form right there. And there's also one on markcongleton.com, which is where the Daily Perspective is hosted. So get signed up today. And if you'd like, hey, give a subscription to a friend. You can sign a friend up. And when they ask you, what is this email I got confirming my subscription? Then tell them what it's all about. Okay? All right. Now, from time to time, we have just amazing examples of brain damage coming from progressivism. And here is one of them. The Dorchester Historical Society was forced to pull an ad, a Christmas ad, which some said was controversial because, well, precious little snowflakes got offended. Here's what the ad reads. Let me just preface it by describing it, okay? It's a picture with twinkly, glittery lights in the background and a snow globe in the foreground with snow falling around building, which apparently is familiar to the people of Dorchester. And the line says, "We're dreaming of a white Dorchester." Well, that's kind of cool. We're dreaming of snow for Christmas. That's pretty much what it says. It was one of several advertisements that changed the words of the famous and traditional Christmas songs to include Dorchester. Another one of the ads read, "May your Dorchesters be merry and bright." Well, after a few perpetually offended snowflakes claimed the ad was racist, the Historical Society apologized and they pulled the ad, saying, "We are truly very sorry about our graphic used for this event. This was an unfortunate oversight on our part, and the event photograph has been removed from our social media. We were simply changing the words to the classic Christmas carol and did not think it through properly." Well, that makes a couple of things very clear. First, the city of Dorchester is full of lily-livered, whiny snowflakes. And second, the people who work at the Historical Society are a bunch of wimps. The implication of dreaming of a white Dorchester is that they were hoping for snow. Anybody with a brain recognizes that. It's a reference to snow. And anybody who thinks the ad is racist is brain damaged. You know, we have a lot of people walking among us today who in earlier days in our society would never have been allowed outside. You know, they just wouldn't have. "May your Dorchesters be merry and bright. I'm dreaming of a white Dorchester." I think it's very clear what that means. Don't you? It's very, very clear what that means. But to the perpetually offended, to the progressives, everything is racist. Remember, when you're a progressive, everyone is either a victim or a victimizer or an advocate for the victims. You're either oppressed, an oppressor, or an advocate for the oppressed. That is the world according to progressivism. So when we say we're dreaming of a white Christmas, we've actually in the past had brain-damaged idiots say, "Well, that's racist." Really? Really? Oh, bless your heart. God love you. You really think that's racist? But they do. They believe it's racist. God love them. It's just beyond me. It's just beyond me how these people can, believe the things they do, why they want to believe the things they do, but they do. I just can't relate to somehow deep inside wanting to be offended by everything in the world, but they are. God love them. Bless their hearts. This is for you, snowflakes. Oh, no, that's not the one I was looking for. At any rate, the... here we are. This is the one. The... that should have been offensive to them anyway. Silent Night, that would offend them as well. Well, that's Christianity, people. Ooh. Here we go. Oh, I gotta mute that word. Christmas. There we are. There we are. Yeah, that's better.
Just like the one.
Hey, well, Bing Crosby clearly was a racist. Bless his heart. Wait a minute. Hang on. Let me kill Bing Crosby here for a second. Here's another version. This is a... Yeah, there we are. See, this is a different version. Maybe this one's less offensive. Let's give it a try. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, really?
Christmas.
We have a serious problem here.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Because this is the Drifters. By the way, the Drifters is a black doo-wop group. Uh-oh! I'm conflicted. Something is deeply wrong. I want to be offended, but I can't.
I am dreaming.
Oh, this is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But that's the world we live in today. The insane are walking among us. The lunatics are running the asylum. Bless our hearts. But here's a little word of encouragement for you. They are not the majority. They are just the noisy, disconnected, disjointed, brain-damaged minority. And they make a lot of noise. They aren't the majority. The sane people are. They may gather together in big groups in certain parts of the country. They have their little progressive strongholds in cities on the coasts, but they aren't the majority of the country. They really aren't. The sane people still are. And it's up to the sane people to maintain that majority. It's up to the sane people to get out and vote and to make sure that the insane people really don't get the keys to the asylum. Because if they do, life as you know it will be over in this country. And speaking of the brain dead, the brain damaged, Democrat Texan Representative Al Green, Tuesday, has suggested he's going to be bringing articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump for, are you sitting down, bigotry. While prominent Democrats have tiptoed around that question of whether Trump should be impeached before Special Counsel Robert Mueller finishes his investigation, Green said there are plenty of other reasons to impeach Trump, including his bigotry. Apparently, Mr. Green doesn't watch the news because Trump is doing things for the black community that Obama never did. But Green says, I'm here to say without question, reservation, or hesitation that we should not allow ourselves to get back to bigotry as usual. He said this from the House floor. He goes on to say, there seems to be a desire to avoid the question of bigotry, emanating from the presidency. There seems to be a desire to move on to something else. Let's find the other way to deal with the problem. He said, that's not what the people who suffer from the bigotry have to endure. They have to deal with the actual bigotry, the actual ugliness being fostered across the length and breadth of this country as a result of the bigotry. I wonder how many times he actually said the word bigotry during his address. There are people who are suffering. The culture is changing. Bigotry is real, and people have to deal with it because they do. I don't think we should allow bigotry to, are you counting, to go unnoticed as it emanates from the presidency. Because I don't think so. I will make an announcement sometime next week, more than likely, as to whether or not we'll have additional articles of impeachment brought before the House. Now, he emphasizes that he has never interfered with the Mueller investigation and does not intend to interfere with it. He just says he believes he ought to not allow bigotry to go unnoticed. You know something? I don't know if you've noticed this like I have, but there is bigotry. But it's not at the level that people like Al Green say it is. It's just not. They have to have something to wave the flag about and to get people worked up about, even if it's not really an issue. We didn't have bigotry issues nearly as badly as we do today before Barack Obama came into office. That's something you should chew on. Oh, we'll be back. The Daily Perspective continues momentarily. Christmas, y'all. Come on. You're listening to The Daily Perspective. Some days I miss you working in music radio. Come on now.
Run, run, Rudolph, read like a merry
So every day I try to remind you that you need to stop watching and listening to the news that's coming off the networks. You know, the Alphabet Networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and the like. Because what's happening is you're getting a really warped picture of what's happening in the world around you. Because they're giving it to you from a single perspective. And it's a progressive, leftist, liberal perspective that is coming through a lens that's heavily distorted. And I encourage you to get off of that particular source of information because you're not getting the truth. You're getting snippets. You're getting, well, especially in the places where you have opinion shows. And this is even true of Fox News. On opinion shows where there is a host who has a certain worldview, then everything on that show gets filtered through that worldview. Even though they may have guests and commentators who agree or disagree, you still get a tilted, slanted worldview. And it's really important for all of us to search out more sources of information and to begin working on developing our discernment for what is true and what is not. And as I've said time and time again, when you do that, eventually you get a good gut feeling for what's true and what isn't, rather than just accepting what fits your particular preference. And if you've noticed, your leftist, progressive, liberal friends, that's exactly what they do. They're the ones who quote links, or they post links to articles, and they laugh about the stupidity of President Trump, or they're angry about this thing that he's done or that thing that he's done, and they quote hard leftist progressive sources because they agree with them, and they say that it's supporting what they believe, even though their belief is not based in reality, truth, or anything resembling it. It's what they prefer to believe. Well, there's a new survey from the Pew Research Center, and it indicates that Americans have passed a tipping point when it comes to changing the sources they go to for news. According to Pew, more Americans are going to social media for news than the number that go to newspapers. In 2016, 20% of Americans surveyed said they got their news from newspapers. 18% got their news from social media. Now, 2 years later, social media has surpassed newspapers as a source of news. 20% of Americans are turning to social media. Newspapers, that's dropped to 16%. Now, neither one of those comes anywhere near close to the behemoth, that is, television, when it comes to the propagation of news. In 2016, fully 57% of Americans went to TV for their news. While the percentage has dropped to 49% just 2 years later, television still dominates all other media as a source for news. Not all TV news is equal. Most Americans turn to local news on TV rather than for cable TV news, with national evening shows taking up the rear. And that's a good trend. That's a good trend. There's also an enormous age gap. The Pew survey found that Americans 65 and older were 5 times as likely to get their news from TV as younger Americans. About 81% of those in that age group, 65 and older, get their news from TV. Often, only about 16% of those 18 to 29 said they got their news from TV. And the divide goes the other direction with social media as a news source. Younger Americans are about 4 times as likely to get their news from social media as those aged 65 and older. The Pew researcher, Eliza Shearer, says, younger Americans are also unique in that they don't rely on one platform in the way that the majority of their elders rely on TV. No more than half of those 18 to 29 and 30 to 49 get news often from any one news platform. Well, getting your news from social media can be a good thing, and it can also be a problem. It depends on how you use social media for your news gathering. If you're getting your news copied and pasted from other people who believe the same way you do, then you're not getting the news. You're getting a very slanted, very one-sided view of the world. Because what you're doing is you're just getting your information from your echo chamber. And that is the biggest problem with getting your information from social media. Now, disclaimer, I've told you this in the past. I set up my social media accounts as news aggregators. But I don't bring you news stories from my friends who've posted news stories on social media. That's not what I do. What I do is I go find news sources and I subscribe to their social media feeds. And they will be posting things. And I've said this before, the news sources, these news outlets, are smart enough to know that Twitter and Facebook are so hot, so popular, that they have to be there in order to reach people. And as you can see from the Pew Research study, the younger they are, the more likely they are to be getting their news from social media, so you'd better be there. Well, what I've done is I have set up my Facebook and my Twitter and such accounts subscribing to various news sources, conservative, liberal, and the like. So I can see what's coming out, the stories they're pushing every day. And that is the jumping off point. That's where you start. You see somebody, well, for example, the New York Times might post a lead, and it piques curiosity. You go look at the story, and that is your introduction to the story. It's not the be-all, end-all. Because very often with a progressive liberal news source, you want to dig a little farther. You want to find out what's really happening. Because especially on the liberal side of things, you're not going to get all of the information. And if you do, sometimes you'll get an article that goes on and on and on and on and on. And the people they interview and the, quote, experts they quote, all look at things from the same perspective as the writer of the story. They're all leftists. They're all progressives. And they look at the world through that lens. So you have to go look for other sources of information. And that's something I do every day. I'll see a story from a progressive source, and I will go do a search looking for the same story from other sources to see if I can find other viewpoints, other perspectives on the story. Because you have to see things from different angles. Because especially when it comes to the progressives, if it's inconvenient to the narrative, they will not include it in a story. They will not tell you what you need to know to get the complete picture if it's inconvenient to the picture they want to paint. And that's a horrible, horrible way to do news. That's not doing news. That's doing propaganda. So if you're going to rely on social media for your news, you have to do it in a way where it's giving you an introduction to a news story, and then you have to do your due diligence and go beyond that. And unfortunately, what's happening with younger people today, and possibly many of your friends, is that they're just getting the surface. They're getting the crust on top of the pie when they should be digging deeper and finding out what's inside. They're just judging the entire scenario, the whole story, based on what they're being told by one source or a variety of sources who see things from one perspective. We can't afford to do that, and we can't afford to let our friends do that, because we're being lied to. So get out there today and seek the truth. Dig beneath the surface, and we'll see you tomorrow here on The Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.